Hi, Long Island. It's TechWorks Consulting CEO, Chris Coluccio. No matter where I am on the island or online, I'm always listening to 103.9 LI News Radio.
Well, he better, and we're going to test him right now on that. You know, well, Chris Coluccio, TechWorks Consulting, nobody better. As far as the industry is concerned, he is the guru of all tech involved, and he joins us in his spot on a Thursday. I don't even know what day it is. It's been that kind of craziness. Christopher, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Jay. Actually, just got out of surgery about a week and a half ago, but I feel pretty good. So everything's going good. I had a spinal neck fusion, which is it's amazing what they can do nowadays. I feel pretty good.
I didn't even know you had that issue. Are you doing okay now? You must have been writhing pain, no? With that stuff?
Actually, I got to be honest with you. I woke up feeling pretty good. I was walking maybe like a half hour later, so I was surprised. I thought I was going to be out for... I mean, I still have some, you know, soreness and pain from the surgery and stuff like that, but I feel pretty good.
Well, thank goodness for that. You cannot be on the shelf too long. We need you here. All right, so... Let's get into a couple of things. There was some news that came about yesterday that I want to hit you on regarding the FBI and now putting out some warnings that cyber criminals are set to launch a wave of ransomware attacks on the healthcare system. And when you think of that, you know, you're looking at patient care and everything else. So these attacks, Chris, seem to be aimed at locking up hospital information systems and that to make them inaccessible. And then, you know, to hold, to demand money to release that information. So I know AP cited some independent security experts saying at least five now U.S. hospitals have been attacked this week and hundreds more potentially could be targeted in these attacks by a Russian-speaking criminal gang. Russia at it again. Give me your take on this.
Well, so, you know, we've talked about this in the past on basically how cybersecurity has become a business. I mean, hacking and just ransomware and stuff like that, and stuff that you can buy online. And it's some estimates say it's going to be like a $400 billion business. So these companies, they actually go out and they target market audiences the way we would target market for, you know, somebody who needs IT services, and they're going out and they're looking for the biggest bang for their buck. And the truth be told is that they're looking at these hospitals and other entities like these hospitals that have a lot of important information and that don't really or haven't really traditionally taken very good care of their systems. They're not up to date with their security practices, and so they're ripe targets. So unfortunately, this is something that, you know, this industry, the healthcare industry, has seen, you know. Sure, they're targeting it now, but this has been going on for years and years, targeting this industry, and a lot of big hospitals have been hit with these kind of ransomware attacks. When we talked to our clients about these things, we said, you know, it's just once the healthcare industry and other industries start to shore up their services, then they're just going to go and target the next industry. It's manufacturing is a big one that they target now. So I think the unfortunate part is that a lot of these entities have lots of, older systems that they're still trying to keep running that don't have the security in place, and they're not all of them are taking very good care of our data. And at some point, I think we need to come up with, and I know we're working on this, and a lot of other organizations are working on coming up with the standards and baselines that everybody should practice, you know, at any size organization. So, you know, the hospitals, they have a thing called the HIPAA, which is, you know, a privacy act for our data. But unfortunately, like I said, the government hasn't really enforced that rule, and there's still lots of old equipment, lots of old policies and procedures and practices that make them a target.
Yeah, big problem, no question. And it's about being prepared, really is. And the problem, you've spoken about this many a time in this program, Chris, you know, the antiquated systems in and around, you know, it's an eye opener. You know, we talk about storms, and we talk, you know, it's interesting. Today is the 8th anniversary of Sandy, right? And look what has transpired as far as, you know, antiquated systems with our utilities, the Long Island Railroad and everything else. You know, at some point, there's an obligation to kind of get into the 21st century, especially when it comes to technology, because that's how you ward off some of this stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the I guess the problem is today that what we see is that, you know, it's, especially on Long Island, it's very expensive to run a business. It's very expensive to do just about anything that we do on Long Island. So you have a lot of people that are making decisions on, you know, not going out and spending. They don't see technology as a return on investment, right? So if they do it right and they do these security practices, you know, they see it as a cost that's going to cost them so much money to upgrade these old systems, to get them up to date, that they don't think that the threat is as big as the cost until something happens. And we see this over and over again. And then the other kind of sad part or tough part about it is that, you know, in the past, we would set up a system like our technology, and then we'd be able to go on and move on to another part of our business as that system kind of chugged along. Nowadays, you can't do it like that. It has to be updated regularly. So to give you an example, you know, there's hundreds and thousands of Windows servers out there that if you didn't have a patch in August, you didn't patch your machine in August because you're not doing updating your machines, that there's a massive ability for them to put ransomware on your machine because of not patching. And that's just from August to today. So if you're not diligent about that stuff, you open yourself up to a lot of threats, which is why, you know, in our case, we believe that, you know, it's impossible for any sole proprietor business owner to kind of do this stuff themselves. They really need to have somebody that is automating these processes and keeping it up to date and keeping an eye on it, you know, real time. So that's, you know, that's our spin on it, I guess. But it's almost impossible to keep that stuff up to date all the time, even if you want to be diligent about it. I know that in my house, too. It's tough. I have lots of stuff in my house that needs to be updated all the time, too.
And, you know, the biggest problem is the crooks are always one step ahead of you anyway, right, when it comes to this. It really is. You know, it's almost as if, you know, you get one of these things, the nuances involved in hacking, you know, it seems. And it's hard to keep up. You know, that's what it's come down to these days. It's almost like you're one step behind as far as the attack is concerned, no matter how much you know, security you put in place. That's what's going on right now in our world, you know?
You know, it's a cat and mouse game, definitely. But the goal of that game is not to be perfect. It's to make yourself less attractive than the other targets that are out there. And that might be sad to say. But the goal of the game is to lower your footprint to a point at which they don't want to, or they don't want to, you know, it's too much effort for them to go to your stuff versus other stuff that's out there. Now, that being said, there are some, like, best practices, and there are some ways that we can take care of our organizations. I mean, updating your equipment regularly, password policies, two-factor authentications. There's things that we look at when we look at organizations and people and businesses that have these problems that almost fall in line over and over again with the ones that get attacked or get hacked. So a lot of it, and the biggest part about it is the training that we're giving, you know, that we're getting for ourselves and for our customers and our employees. Those people that are using our systems are probably the biggest threat that we have, and it's probably more important to train them than it is even to patch that server, to be honest with you, because they're your first line of defense, and there's not a lot of that education going on right now.
Chris Coluccio with us. It is a great company. He presides over it, TechWorks Consulting, one of the best in the business, he being one of the best in the business as well. Now, a lot in the news has been made of the social media, the Twitter, the Googles, the Facebooks, now getting in front of the Senate, rightfully so. Listen, the censoring and everything else, most notably the New York Post, the Hunter Biden stuff, the Bobulinski comments and everything else, the emails, the breaking of the story, and quite frankly, you know, there comes a point in time. I mean, listen, I don't think there's been a couple of years more where Mark Zuckerberg has faced it. I mean, and rightfully so, by the way, because what we have seen over the years, in my estimation, is a stepping over that proverbial line, so to speak. Why? Because they feel they have the right to. But I'm happy that people are pushing back. And the fact of the matter is, it's not all about these giants here. But there is a protocol that one has to follow, and I think we've forgotten about that. Thus, they get their due. as far as the questioning and everything else, give me your take on things.
You know, unfortunately, I spent the majority of my day watching this yesterday. And, you know, it was, to be honest with you, it was kind of painful. At one point, I wrote down on my notepad, these guys are tools. And that's the nicest way that I could put it, because it was just, it was sad to see them skirt around this issue as if they have the ability to tell us what's important and what's not important to society, for people to see, for people to hear. And the questions that were asked, that they were just, you know, I'm going to have to give you information later, or I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to look that up, and it was, or our algorithm takes care of that. And it was just garbage. But at the end of it, I got out of it that, you know, I'm the type of person who believes that it's, you know, more free speech is always better. And that we're big people. We're smart. If we let this stuff go out there, you know, bad actors have always been out there. That speech has always been out there. I understand social media ramps it up, but we have to know what's out there, because we have to learn what is good and what is bad and have conversations about it. And I saw a group of people that, for the most part, were willing to say, we know what's right and wrong. And we're going to tell you what's right and wrong. And if you don't like it, too bad. Unfortunately, that's what we saw. And, you know, I hope, and what I'm looking at here is that what we're seeing because of this is, sure, we're having a conversation. Sure, there's going to be some legislation. You know, I'm not a proponent for saying that the 230 Act should be wiped out, because I think it's an important part of the internet. But what I am seeing is that there are a lot of alternatives coming up now to these tech giants, and people are searching the search terms for these alternative platforms that are out there. Alternatives to Google and Facebook and YouTube are becoming more popular, and I hope that that's the way it goes. Besides that, I do think that, you know, we should have some kind of, you know, if you think about it, something as simply as saying, okay, well, YouTube, you know, they're their own business, or Facebook, they're their own business. They can block kind of whatever they want. I mean, it's not what they were designed for. They were designed to be this open forum, but we understand that there are certain things that we feel might be out of the norm. They can block whatever they want, but why not have a site that we can go to that is the same Facebook site that has all of the historical content of what was blocked and what wasn't blocked? So we get to see it if we want to see it, and we don't get to see it if we don't want to see it. But that's not the way these people think. They really do think that they're controlling the social justice of the world. And it's kind of sad from that standpoint, because it's not the way. You know, when Google first started, they had this slogan on their on the wall of Google that said, don't be evil. And for some reason or another, they took that down. So to me, that's kind of scary, because it's kind of an easy value to have, like, don't be evil. Why would you take that down from your values? Does that mean that it doesn't mean you don't want to be evil anymore? I don't know, but I don't understand why that would happen. But I go back to the alternatives that are out there are coming up now. Things like Library instead of YouTube, and BitChute instead of Facebook, and all of these other areas. I use a website called DuckDuckGo for my searching, so that I'm getting alternative search results than what Google's giving me, because I do see that they're filtered and they're biased. I mean, you can really look them up. Use DuckDuckGo and do a search for certain things, and Google for a search for certain things, and you see this kind of bias filter. It you know, it's out there, but I think that, like everything else in the world, you know, it's the vacuum of that bias opens itself up for some new players to come in, and maybe that's a good thing.
Chris Coluccio with us. Listen, it's that many are disillusioned with big tech right now. And that's why, you know, it's good to see some pushback here. It's good to see the Zuckerbergs of this world, you know, face some questions. And quite frankly, the flexing of the muscles, they're going to stop. That has to. Because, as you mentioned, there are alternatives out there as far as these social media sites. Give me a little idea. I keep hearing this SpaceX beta test Starlink satellite internet service, Chris. That's a lot of verbiage to put in place, but at $99 a month, what's that all about?
So this is kind of big news for probably not Long Island, but for a lot of the rest of the country that can't get internet services, because the SpaceX just, and maybe for other services too, like services in your car where you're going to get satellite services. So now, where you traditionally, for almost all internet services that we have, you have to run a wire to your house to get decent high-speed internet, SpaceX decided that they were going to kind of put these satellites all up there. that allow people in the United States to get really high-speed internet on a point-to-point satellite basis. And I know that, you know, even on Long Island, in some areas where you might not have some good services, you could put this antenna up and get really high-speed internet, and they're beta testing that. So it's exciting from a standpoint that you're going to probably, in areas where, you know, let's say you didn't have coverage for your car, that they're going to want to connect to the internet, and they're not going to be able to put 5G antennas up. A service like this is going to continue to give us internet access in, you know, in the middle of the desert or in those kind of areas. And so they're beta testing that now. And it's a pretty cool service. I mean, we're actually looking at testing it in our office, too, to see how well something without any wires. I mean, we're all used to Wi-Fi and stuff like that. But now we're talking about, you know, over distances of the Earth to, you know, on the scale of the Earth to send high-speed internet back and forth. And what that means for us is probably something pretty important, maybe a little scary for some people to, you know, never be disconnected. You want to go out to the desert and maybe not have internet. But, you know, so it's an interesting day that now there are a group of people, there are actually a decent percentage of people who don't have access to high-speed internet. And this is probably one of those ways it's going to help.
I can't wait until the availability. I'm willing to test it, you know, because we're always looking for other ways and everything else. So we'll see what happens there. And finally, I'll ask you, since you're such a humble guy, I got word that you started a task force, my friend. Chris, part of that great HIA, we know about that. The HALI, the Technology for Business Task Forces. So what it is, it's a group of some of the best minds in the business here on the island, Chris being one of them, and they're heading up these task forces in areas, you know, like we spoke about, cyber, telecom, infrastructure, software, development, emerging technology, much, much more. But that's a great thing. Should have done it years ago, you know? You're right there.
Yeah, so, you know, we finally had the opportunity. I have a new co-chair for the Technology for Business Committee in the HIA, and we decided that we really wanted to look at doing something a little bit differently. And what we did is we looked around the HIA, which is a very large business organization, you know, obviously like 5,000 or 6,000 members. And we went out and we said, we want to start a task force in each one of these areas, including cloud, including communications, and say, let's get the best people that are available to us and let them run their own little task force and start bringing us content and being able to communicate with the community, being able to outreach, helping the Long Island business community to have a place to go and say, hey, I don't have a lot of money to spend, or I just need some ideas how to get started, and you know, I want some place to go to speak to some of the, you know, the best minds in the business that are doing those things. And to be honest with you, we started it you know, a little over 9 months ago, and it just skyrocketed. I mean, the amount of work and effort that everybody's been putting into this, and the fact that, you know, January we're kind of really going to go live with public content with it, but I think it's going to be a great hub for everybody to be able to go, and once again, very Long Island-focused resources that are available to us. So the Long Island business community is going to be able to come here and get information about all these things that I talk about, you know, the emerging technologies. You want to start talking about robotic process automation or AI. Well, we have an emerging group for that. You want to move your business to the cloud, or you need some software development, and you want to talk about better processes and how to use technology to make your business more efficient. We're going to have people that are available to talk to that and just to get you started and to get moving and to push you in the right direction. And then we're going to be able to correlate all that content together and have a resource for you to go and look that stuff up. So if you joined one of our meetings and you remember that somebody was really doing it with drones or something else like that, you're going to be able to go back through that and look it up. And so I think it'll be a great hub for those of us that are, you know, always looking for, you know, new ways to help for technology to help our businesses.
Fantastic stuff, and nobody better at doing it than you, sir. The company is TechWorks Consulting, ladies and gentlemen, Kohler Avenue in Ronkonkoma. Any questions? Chris will field them. 631-285-1527. Go to the great website. You'll learn a lot there at maketechwork.com. And by the way, for service, big part of the business too, help@maketechwork.com. Now listen, no heavy lifting. That's my recommendation for you for the next couple of years, okay? please. I don't want to see
wife,
you.
My wife's yelling at me every day because I'm already doing nothing. I'm not supposed to lift more than a cup of coffee, but you know, that's already out the window. So, but I did want to say, Jay, if I have a second, you can go to HIA's website. We meet on the text force meets on the first Wednesday of every month, and everybody's welcome to join us to take a look at what's going on. You can shoot me an email, or you can hop on HIALI.com and get information about that. So.
Awesome. By the way, give out your email, chris@megtechwork, correct?
Yep.
And we look forward to that, chris@megtechwork. You stay well, get healthy, and I'm going to keep checking on you to make sure that you are not even lifting that cup of coffee. Don't make me angry now.
Thank you, Jay. It's always a pleasure.
You take care, my friend.